Well, if you have a Bible, please turn to Psalm 139. And we're continuing the series through this psalm. But I'm going to read the whole psalm again. So beginning at verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And then we're going to be looking at these two verses. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Or shall we pray? Father, if we feel like we are in a dark place today, may your word speak to us of your glorious light. Your light alone can give us hope and joy and love in this dark world we live in. And Father, may you be here with us and shine your glory into our hearts for your sake. Amen. Darkness. Darkness is often used as a symbol of anything that is bad in the world. So I might say, I read a dark book the other day. And by that I would mean it was a really sad story. And perhaps the characters were dealing with a lot, or many of them may have died. Bad things happened in the book. It was dark. And the Bible also uses darkness to mean the same sort of thing. We see it being used to represent this world of sin and suffering, or death and destruction. And so the Bible is clear that this is a dark world. It is a world where bad things happen. There is crime, terrorism, wars, oppression, theft, natural disasters, outbreaks of viruses, and the list would go on. When we look at the news day by day, it is clear that everything good in this world is being broken. And it is our sinfulness, our inner darkness, that is doing this. Although we like to put the blame on God for the darkness we see, actually the Bible says that we are at fault. The darkness inside of us is making it dark outside of us. Our selfish acts and our lack of love. It doesn't just lead us to do and to think sinful things, but they also hold us back from doing good, like helping those who are in need, the victims. So it's because of our sin that this creation is cursed. And this is also the case in our personal lives as well. When we say that we are going through a dark time, we often mean that we are struggling. We are finding things hard. That we are unsure about the future. So we are worried and fearful. Or maybe we are dealing with loss or a lack of purpose. The light has gone out from our lives, and we are left to put our head in our hands in the dark. And like Job began to question God in his suffering, so too suffering can affect our relationship with God. Maybe we get angry with him and pray, why? Why, God? Now, the Bible declares that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 verse 5. That means that God is truth. God is good. God is right. God is just. God is gracious. God is perfect. When God appears in the Bible, he either hides his light in a cloud of darkness, or he lets his light blaze out. And when he lets his light shine out, that is when his people just cannot stand before him. So they fall down before him, helpless, and as though they were dead. And his glory and goodness should do the same to us. It should strike us powerfully. But in our lives, there are times when the light of God is shrouded in darkness. We cannot see it, but it is still there. And there are other times when it blazes out And God shows himself powerfully to us. So we could say that darkness can be a symbol of two things, sin and suffering. And both of these things are to do with our relationship with God, the God who is light. How so? Well, our suffering often comes from feeling that God is distant from us. And sin often comes into our lives when we stay away from God's light. We're going to be looking at just two verses this morning, verses 11 and 12, and each will have their own heading. Yet as we get to each of the verses, we are going to be looking at these two sides of darkness, sin and suffering. And we'll see how both relate to each. So first, let's look at verse 11 under the heading, "The Dark of Night." The Dark of Night. Verse 11 begins with the words, "If I say..." And then after that, David expresses how he can sometimes doubt the truths we have been looking at in verses 1 to 10. In the first line, David starts with when he says, "Surely the darkness will hide me." Now, if you remember the start of this psalm, you can see how this completely goes against what he knows about God in verses 1 to 6. Remember that first part of the psalm we looked at. God knows us inside out. He sees everything about us when we rise and sit, or when we go out and come in. Our whole lives are before God. So the truth is that David is not hidden from God. God knew all about him and everything he did. The darkness could not hide him. And yet it appears that David is remembering times in his life where he began to doubt these things. Now, David did have lots of troubles in his life. And it's likely that when these times came, this was when he perhaps struggled with his relationship to God. And he started to doubt these truths about him. There is a sense here that he feels God does not see him in his trouble or care about him. So he feels hidden away from God in the darkness. And God knows that this is something his people need a reminder of, especially when they face these dark times in life. In Isaiah 40, God was speaking comfort to his people after they had been in a dark place. Like David, they had started saying in verse 27, "My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." And we can say the same whenever it seems as if God is not hearing our prayers, or it feels as if he is far from us. But very often, God's response is not to answer why he is doing these things. No, normally he answers by reminding us of what we should already know. God replies to his people in Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's line one. In the second line, David goes on to when he says, "The light become night around me." He seems to be saying that the light of God's presence does not seem to be around him. It's as if it's not there. So it's like night. And again, it seems he is starting to doubt the truth of verses 7 to 10. Look back at those verses in your Bible. We saw last time that God is with us everywhere. So God was with David, even when it didn't feel like it. But David still said that he did not feel God's light in these moments. He feels that God is not present with him because he doesn't see or know his light. All he sees and feels is the dark night. We can sometimes feel like praying what David did in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? But God goes on to tell his people in Isaiah 41 verse 10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God's promises remind us that he is with us, no matter what we are feeling. And sin and suffering can make us feel distant from God. Let's look at each of these different things. First, think of sin. David had times when he fell into serious sin. You remember the incident with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11, where David broke so many commandments after he just had a lustful look at someone. It seems that David thought all he had done was hidden from God. He even tried to hide it from other people as well. But we see in verse 27 that God saw it and it displeased him. So he then confronted it in chapter 12. Secondly, think of suffering. Job said in Job chapter 10, "Are not my few days almost over? Turn away from me so that I can have a moment's joy before I go to the place of no return, to the land of gloom and utter darkness, to the land of deepest night, of utter darkness and disorder, where even the light is like darkness." Life can be dark. We may start to question ourselves if we are sad in these times. We are commanded in Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always. And joy is said to be a fruit of the Spirit, a sign that God is working in us. So we may start to think, should not Christians always be joyful? And if I don't feel any joy at the moment, does that mean that God is not close to me? Or is it that I'm not close enough to God? Or we might even start to question our own salvation. Do I truly believe if I'm not joyful? Well, God never promises that the fruit he grows in us will be perfect. And of course, we won't ever be perfect in this life. So often, all of our joy, love, peace, and patience could be better. And God often uses these times of sin and suffering to grow these fruits in us even more, which means they will show up where we come short. Our joy may need to be tested through troubles if it is to grow. So in times of sin or suffering, we can know God's light. We can know that God still looks on us and is present with us. And that knowledge should keep us going and keep us growing. And we must draw near to God in these times for comfort and strength, hearing in his word who he is. But we should not lose heart whenever we ask why, and God only responds with, "I see you, and I am with you." They say that the night is darkest just before the dawn. But as we go through that night, it can seem so long. It may feel like the day will never come. The psalmist often repeatedly asks, "How long, O Lord?" And we too need patience to wait on God for the day of light. And so that brings us to our second heading in verse 12, the day of light. This verse is a response to David's doubts in verse 11. David had recognized times of doubts. But when he felt hidden from God, God still saw him. And when he didn't see God's light, God was still with him. We all have dark times of sin and suffering in our lives. But God can shine a light of hope to us when we are in the darkness. David says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." So even when things seem so dark to us, God sees through the dark to the bright future he has for us. Now, that's why the dark places we find ourselves in are in many ways not dark to God. And actually, the very darkest parts of our lives may be where God shines the brightest. We might not notice it at the time, but only when we look back at them. In our darkest times and places, when we cannot see a way out, God can see it. There may be times when we are confused and we don't know why God is doing something. I've certainly felt that. And I had to battle to keep trusting God. And to be honest, I felt at times like I didn't trust him. I had to remind myself that if I truly trust that God is above me in every way, I won't be able to understand God and all of his ways and thoughts. As he says himself, his ways and thoughts are so much higher than mine. So there will be things that God does that won't make sense to me. But even in dark times, God has not lost control. He knows exactly what he is doing. And although all we see is night, for God there is still a light that shines like the day. It can be hard for us when we don't see that light, but we must trust God in that. Psalm 112, verse 4. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. There is a hope of light for all God's people as they face the darkness. In our darkness, we need to be reminded of the truths we learnt in Psalm 139 already, back in verses 1 to 10. We need to know that God sees us and knows us even in the dark, and that he is with us as we walk through it. We must remember that God sees his people in their suffering, just as he saw Hagar running away from her mistress after she had been cruel to her in Genesis 16. So in verse 13 in that chapter, she said, "You are the God who sees me." And then in Exodus 2, when the Israelites were suffering under harsh slavery, we are told in verses 23 to 25, the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. If we go through a dark time, we can call out to God, because he is a God who sees us. So God sees us, but we also need to know that God is present with us in our darkest times. In Psalm 23, verse 4, David says to God, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So we need to know God is with us, even when we do not see his light. So what does this mean for us as we face our dark times today? Well, for us in Christ, it is particularly the light of Jesus that can overcome the darkness. John 1, verses 4 to 5. In him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is why Jesus came into this world. He came to shine the light of God into this dark world. Jesus' life was full of the goodness and grace of God, although every person in the world was a sinner. Jesus was tempted in every way, like us, and yet he did not sin. He had no darkness in him. Only the light of God shone through in his acts of kindness and compassion. And the passage draws an important parallel here. It's true that light is the opposite of darkness. And so darkness is also the opposite of light. That's true. But note here that light is something and darkness isn't. In the physical world, light is a wave that allows us to see. But darkness is just the absence of light. And that means wherever light shines, the darkness vanishes. It has to flee. There is nowhere for the darkness to be when a light shines. And so that means light will always beat darkness. And it's the same with God's light. The darkness of this world, and even the darkness inside of us, is nothing to God. So when God shines his light, the darkness will flee away. It is defeated. So the darkness may not seem to lift, but we know the darkness can never have the victory when the light of God shines out. And again, this is true when it comes to both our sin and our suffering. In terms of sin, Jesus came to chase our darkness away. As he died on the cross, he took up our sin and was punished for them. And by his resurrection, he gives us life. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And this light brings God's goodness to us. And this means we walk in the light as he is in the light. The darkness of our sin has gone, and we are made alive, like children of the day, to live a new life. In terms of suffering, God brings hope to our darkness. This is often symbolized by mourning. And we see it in Psalm 130, verses 5 to 6. "I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning." It calls us to wait for God. Psalm 30, verse 5, "God's anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Again, the morning brings hope. And here we see there is also hope, because God is gracious. His grace gives hope. Lamentations 3. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Then later in the chapter, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. So God has compassion towards us in our suffering too. So what can we do about all this when we face dark times? How do we look for the light of God when everything around us seems like darkness? Well, let me finish with four things that we can do in dark times to help us to hope in God. And all of them have to do with looking for God, the God of light. First, lean on God in the darkness. Psalm 18, verse 28. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Lean. Second, listen to God in his word. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. And even the darkness of night is a time to meditate. See Psalm 63:6. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Listen. Third, look to Jesus, our light. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Look. Fourth and finally, live in the light. As the Bible says, walk in the light. That means live your life doing what is good because you have seen God's light. And so you know his goodness. You know what is good, therefore do what is good. Live. That is how you seek God in the darkness. Lean, listen, look, live. So then, church, may we be confident that God sees us and is with us in all the days of darkness that come our way. Amen. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Amen.